Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Good afternoon to all the listeners. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 2, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclean, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, He that hath brought us from the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank God for that scripture and all scriptures that will lead us to follow the Holy Ghost and to mimic Christ in his life, and that will knit all of our hearts woven so that we can think and move at one time wherever we are in the world. I thank God for this broadcast. I thank God for Pastor Beasley and his great listening ear, as well as Pastor Bell for her encouraging words and prayers that she gives on a daily basis and scriptures. I also want to thank Sister Renee for giving us that sandwich. That sandwich helps to remember scriptures. Praise the Lord. Bind up anything that will come in between this broadcast. I pray for those who are struggling, for those who are bereaved, for those who don't know that they're struggling, those who ask us to remember them in prayer, and those who just need prayer to know that God can heal all things by his stripes. There's nothing too big for our God. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon. Beautiful prayer. The review is about, and I'm thankful, because I know last Sunday we had a rough time. The broadcast, the people that serviced this broadcast had messed up on us, but it's all right. I just like to do things because it's God's will. And so whatever happened, it was God's will. But we want to go over a few scriptures. But before we do that, I would just want to remind everybody that, first of all, tongues are a language. So when you see tongues, know that we're talking about a language. I want to make it about plain as I know how to make it. You either speaking in a language that you know, or you speaking in a language that you don't know. There's nothing super duper superficial about language or about tongues. You either speaking to God in an unknown tongue, or you're speaking to man in a known tongue. Now, if you're speaking a revelated word or whatever, and it's divine or divinely orchestrated, then you know that means that there must be an interpreter. See, so that's the way that's understood. So the thing that we've been able to bring out is the fact that tongues is a language. And that's it, brothers and sisters. It's probably no other best way to give a definition. Tongues is just a language. Now, you either know what you're talking about or you don't know what you're talking about. When you don't know what you're talking about, you're simply edifying God, yourself. But you're not edifying God, so excuse me with that one. You're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up. Now, if you are speaking in a language, which Paul said that we ought to be prophesying, then you're edifying the church. So it's pretty much that simple. You're going to either edify yourself or you're going to edify the body of Christ. So I just want to make sure everybody get that. So we've learned this week that it's okay to speak in tongues. Just know that when you're speaking in another language, someone need to interpret that. But Paul said that he'd rather you speak in a language that everybody understand or understood, so there would be no problem. There would be no controversy. And we talked about that this week, because that was one of the problems in the church, at the Corinth church. And so we talked about that, and we'll get into that. But just understand basics. Basics is this. You start with truth, you end with truth. I say you start with truth, you can end with truth, okay? And that's like so important. Prophecy is preaching. That's what prophesizing is. It's preaching. It's giving a divine word. It's speaking from the oracles of God, giving instruction based on scripture. Okay? We also got into why we need to have tongues and the importance of tongues. And you really, when you think about it, it's a language. Just keep pounding that in your head. So when someone trying to act as though tongue is something different or something special, and they're the only one that can have it, and they're the only one that got it, they lying. See, I just want to be straight with you guys. They lying. That's scripture. So these are the things that we learned this week, and hopefully we'll go over them. And we'll start, bless God, with 1 Corinthians 12:10. Evangelist Sharon.
Yes, 1 Corinthians 17, you said that?
12 and 10.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:10. In the King James, it reads as follows. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. From the Message Bible, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one. The one Spirit of God. Amen.
Yeah. So, it's like a body. It's all working for the same cause, same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is unite one body, one common purpose. And that's the way the body of Christ needs to function. So that was one of the things that Paul was stressing, how important that is, that the body of Christ operate under one Spirit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he used the body. That's why he used that as an example. I think about how it all working together and how it's being revealed, and then put a pin there. Remember, we're talking spiritually. I have to say this because people take this into the flesh and they're missing the spiritual significance of it. They're missing the importance of the spiritual part. This is the spirit, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah. And we have to be able to distinguish between the spirits of tongues and interpretation of tongues. See, you have to be able to distinguish. And one day we talked about it just like you should be able to know the sound. This is how serious it is. A sound of war or a sound of peace. Can you imagine somebody that blew a trumpet or whatever, and the sound is a sound of peace? and you done got all geared up in your armor, your nine, your tanks. You it's peace, and you because you heard the wrong thing, or it wasn't distinguished.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
I just wish I could just see you, show you all the seriousness of it, so people will stop playing silly games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Here's peacetime, and there, Evangelist Sharon got her Uzi, her nines, her tanks, her strap down, and she out here shooting. Wait a minute, honey, it's peacetime. Ain't time for war. Well, where
amen.
Your information from? See, that's all I'm saying, brothers and sisters. We need to be
mm-hmm.
clear with stuff so that people don't get messed up. Because, I mean, there's a possibility to come in there and hear somebody saying something, and they get, oh, God, what's going on? Are these people mad? Are they barbarian? What's happening here? Because somebody misled them. And I'm going to tell you this, too. We didn't go over this, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to give an account of every idle word that come out of your mouth. You're going to have to.
Have mercy.
Help us all.
Yes.
There were so many different scriptures that blaspheme. But we'll go to, since we're at 12, let's go to verse 28. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28.
In the King James, it reads as follows. And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governance, diversity of tongues. Praise the Lord. Pardon my voice.
Amen, amen. Praise God. And from the Message Bible, you're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, ministerial part. It's not all apostles, not all prophets, not all miracle workers, not all healers, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpretation of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Spiritually, brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this, and I don't want nobody to get confused when I say this. Yeah, every part of the body of Christ is important. So one is no lesser than it. But God chose to put the language for people coming to the congregation as the last thing. He didn't make it the first. He saw that being a power. Was the first thing he did for the church. He put it, now, there, we're talking about his church.
Amen.
His church.
Yes.
It's not God's church.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say that one more time. Every church is not God's church. It may have his name on it. It may, people may tell you that, but it's not his church. His church, I love this man, his church, the first thing he did was put apostles. That's what he did. Then he put prophets. It's his church. It's different. But secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. All this stuff going on, and you go way down there and try to prophesy in tongues. And it's not, it's no such thing. No such thing, brothers and sisters. Yeah, so if you don't do anything, he said, I'd rather you prophesy. In other words, I'd rather you preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
In the language you don't understand. Because I'd rather you edify the body of Christ. See, so go ahead on and get it right, get it straight. And he lets you know, everybody don't do everything. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful. Yes, yes. When you see the body of Christ working as one, it's a beautiful thing. Now,
yes,
if you want to step out of the body of Christ, go over there and edify yourself. It's okay. But just don't do it when it's come to God's church. Can you do it? Yes, but not God's church. If you're going to do it in God's church, let there be an interpreter.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
If I give you a place of message, and I want to explain this because it's so important. If God give us a message and somebody came from India and they speak Arabic, would that be that interpret Arabic? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be clear. It doesn't need to be anything that any and everybody can see. For instance, man, there's a hole in the wall. So somebody said they're going to try to get spiritual and say a bunch of juba-juba words and then tell you, God said you need a need to fix the ceiling. Man, Ray Charles could see that.
Yeah.
Big hole in the ceiling. You don't need somebody to say a whole juba-juba-jabba-jabba and God say, fix the ceiling. See, man, I hope I'm getting this across to somebody. Because it's just so many phony people out here that want you to think that they're something that they're not, that their position they're holding is so great that you are a little nothing. You're a pea head. And they want you to say they got something good, some great spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm. All right now.
If you don't have this gift, covet the best gift you have. God can use that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. It's important to God. You may think it's less important, but God sees it more important. But don't be trying to do a language you don't know anything about and trying to confuse the people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's hard. Cause we really need to fix that hole. You could have did that without tongues. You still got a hole
all
in
right.
the roof. On and fix the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that's real clear. I hope that's real clear to everyone today. Because God wants us to do all things decent and in order.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we talked quite a bit about the church, but there was a few scriptures that we wanted to cover from last week. Unless somebody else have anything they want to say on any particular day, we'll leave it open. Or anybody have any scripture that jumped out at them this week, I want to leave the floor open because I know last week, we couldn't get in there like we wanted to for the review. So I wanted to leave enough space here that for the last 2 weeks, if there's anything that really jumped out at you, well, let's go on and discuss it or let's share.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing now.
Amen. Pastor, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 12:28 from God's Word. And it reads as follows. It says, in the church, God has appointed first apostles, next prophets, third teachers, then who's perform miracles, then those who have the gift of healing, then those who can speak in a number of languages. Then it goes on, verse 29 says, not all believers. I'm sorry, I lost my place there. Not all believers are apostles, are they? Are all of them prophets? Do all of them healing? Do all of them perform miracles or have gifts of healing? And it goes on to say, can all of them speak in other languages or interpret languages? You only want the better gifts, but I will show you the best thing to do. Amen. And so that's why it's so important for us to pray, so that the Lord will lead us or give us these gifts or what gifts he wants us to have. I think in the Message Bible it says he give gifts to who he wants to have them. And so it was just, excuse me, piggybacking on what Pastor was saying about how the gifts, you know, first apostles and then, you know, how he numbered them on down, next prophets and then teachers, you know. So, and it's so important for us to speak the language where people can understand it so they can come to Christ. And as Pastor said earlier, you don't want people to think that you're crazy and, you know, what's going on in that church and I'm not going back or whatever. We want to be able to draw the people. So that's why it's so important for us to speak in a language for all of us to know. And I know now in a lot of the churches, they have all nationalities coming into the church. And so they have a person set aside to interpret what the preacher is saying so that person can understand if they don't speak English. And so I think that's a blessing how God is just getting his people all together and he wants all of us to have his word and know what his word says. I just wanted to share that, Pastor.
Well, just to get where you're at, over there in 1 Corinthians 8 and 7, and I want everybody to go there because you got to understand what was going on in the Corinth church. And we did talk about what was going on, and we will talk a little bit about what went on in the Corinth church. But this is just to prove a point that there was division, there was confusion. Some people had taken the gift to another level, and it just caused confusion. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put this fire out. This one here, we're trying to put out, that people don't be confused. We're going to put that out.
Yeah,
so over in 1 Corinthians, what did I say, 12 and 8, that's what I said.
I thought you said 8 and 7, but I'm not sure, Pastor. I thought you said 1 Corinthians.
Okay. Try 1 Corinthians, if you will. 8 and 7, please. Thank you. Well, clean your ears, girl. You must clean the wax out your ears today because you on it.
Praise God.
Praise God.
I have to hear better because my voice, God is awesome, isn't he? How big there is not in every man that knowledge for some with conscience of the idol unto the hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. Amen.
Amen. It's from the Message Bible. In strict logic, then nothing happened to the meat when it was offered up to an idol. It's just like any other meat. I know what, and you know that. But knowing isn't everything. If it becomes everything, some people end up as know-it-alls who treat others as know nothing. Real knowledge isn't that insensitive. We need to be sensitive to the fact that we're not all at the same level of understanding in this. Some of you have spent your entire lives eating idol meat and are sure there's something bad in the meat that then becomes something bad inside of you. In imagination and conscious shape under those conditions isn't going to change overnight. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The message Bible put it right. Clear and to the point.
You see, Paul feared that the practice of wicked Corinthians had invalidated the church, the congregation. So he wrote so that they could understand that they were being strengthened by the life of others who believed, who have arrived with truth. And so the unbelieving people there could actually see what Paul was trying to convey to those people. So he wrote a letter, and he had warned them. So when I see over there in 8 and 7, the Corinthians believers excelled in everything. They had faith. They had good preaching. They had good speech. And they had much knowledge. And they had a lot of value. And some of them had much love. So Paul wanted them to also be leaders in giving as well. But he wanted to be natural. He wanted them to see their shortcomings as well. So the task that lies ahead for Paul was to show the Corinth church that it was more in love than all this other stuff. So that's why you end up 1 Corinthians 13. And we shared a little bit about that. And he had to stop. That's why I say, when you get a chance, read 1 Corinthians. And really, I don't care where you start, because all of it is the same thing. He giving them sound doctrine. He giving them sound advice on questions that have been asked of him. And that's why I say I like this, because that was a question asked of pastor a few Sundays ago. There was a question asked. So we're giving them sound advice. We're answering their question. So this is where Paul was at, okay? So everybody kind of know where we're at. This is where Paul was at. He was answering the people's question, man. That's what was going on. These people had asked a lot of questions because they were dealing with a lot of things, a lot of issues, for a better way of saying this. Immoral issues. When I think about some of the things they dealt with, was marriage. See, all this stuff is big time stuff. So I don't want you to think one greater. No, it's not one greater than the other. Paul was trying to make sure they have unity. So the same thing was going on in Rome, was going on in Asia Minor, or Antioch, or any of those countries, Athens, Corinth. See, because of the Mediterranean Sea, when you understand this geographically, the Mediterranean Sea went by all of these places. Well, what that have to do with the lesson is this. Somebody could have gotten something from Jerusalem and went north and went over west of Antioch with a different message. And then somebody could have said, well, this is what we heard. Then they took it on farther. So by the time they got to Ephesians or Ephesus, it was a whole different message. And God forbid, when they got to Athens, see, all of these cities was like by the seaport, if that's making sense. I want to explain this so everybody understand. See, like you went up the river. You was going and you stopped in different towns. So by the time it got to Rome, it was totally different. Or by the time it got back to Jerusalem, it was a different word, a different message.
Yeah.
When you understand this geographically, you can see how things change, especially in language bearing. I mean, I listen to Evangelist Sharon. I know she ain't from the South. I know she's not. Pastor, I know you're not from down here.
Amen.
And folks, they'll start talking. You know exactly where they're from.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Somewhere between Atlanta, Georgia, and you go up north to Pennsylvania, the language changes, people.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense to a lot of people, but I really want you to understand this, that it was so much going on. So by the time they got to the Corinth church, where all this wisdom and knowledge, they was taking things and dissecting it. And so if you would look at this as being the halfway point, whatever came down from New York to North Carolina, it had changed. So whatever went from Savannah, Georgia, up to North Carolina had changed. So by the time they got Corinth, they were trying to figure all this stuff out. So some of these churches had accepted certain things so they could act like they were performing or act like they had met God out there on the Mediterranean Sea and got this great revelation, and y'all need to hear it.
All right.
Division in the church, brothers and sisters, there was problems. How I know that? 1 Corinthians 1:6. We'll read those verses right quick, and we'll get on. Because I really want to make a point or two, but I want you all to be full knowledgeable of, and I want you to be knowledgeable of what was going on geographically, as well as spiritually, as far as historically. I know I can't do it all in one session. I get that. But you'll have some idea of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
This one said that they was implementing this in the church, in that body of believers. Got a message from this. And, you know, they didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have they didn't have all this stuff, Zoom, and where you can get it instantly. By the time they went up there 300 miles, things changed. By the time they done got up there 300 kilometers, things changed.
Yeah.
They didn't get it right. So that's why this is so important. So when you double that, and you didn't win. But anyway, 1-6, we'll read
first,
a few verses. 1 Corinthians. Get on mute, Evangelist Sharon.
No, I apologize, Pastor. I was waiting for you. I got the 1 Corinthians, but I didn't get the chapter. I apologize.
1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 1-6 verse.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. It reads as follows in the King James. Commissioned by the will of God as a messenger of Jesus Christ, and Sosthenes, a Christian brother, to the church of God at Corinth. To those whom Christ has made holy, who are all called to be God's men and women, to all true believers in Jesus Christ, their Lord and our grace and peace be unto you from God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for your faith. I am always thankful to God for what the gift of the grace in Jesus Christ has meant to you, How, as the Christian message has become established among you, he has enriched your whole life from the words of your lips to the understanding in your heart. You said 1 through 6.
Amen.
Amen. And that was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 6, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus, the Messiah, according to God's plan, along with my friend, Sothenes. I probably didn't pronounce that right. Help me, Holy Ghost. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth. Believers cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus wherever they live. Here's their master as well as ours. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God, our Father, and the Master, Jesus Christ, be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Amen.
So Paul introduced himself, then he turns around and he praised these people, the Corinth church, for the knowledge that they had, for all that was going on in the church. He was letting them know he was excited. He heard from God, and God said for me to teach you all and explain to them that even though there was division, Paul made sure that they all understood his position. So you know what he said, and this is what's so interesting. God said, Paul, tell the folks that you ain't here to baptize, and you ain't baptized none of them. So they can't put a lie saying you came there baptizing in their name. See, because so much gossip was being spread, Paul had to say, God, I don't baptize none of you all. Because, see, that was one of the problems, too, that was going on in Cyprus. They were talking about, Paul baptizing folks in Paul's name.
Have mercy.
See, I ain't baptized none of y'all. So he cleared up that matter. And then he taught them that baptism also was of the household of Stephen. And what he was sharing with them is that they needed to be baptized in Christ. And he explained to them the way. And they had plenty of knowledge, but they were overlooking some of the main stuff. So this is why I preached the cross. He says to some people, it's foolishness because they perish. But he says to us, which are saved, it is the power of God.
So hallelujah.
So finally, he says to them, where is the wise now? Where is the scribe? Where are those that dispute the word of God? Where are they now? If God took the foolish things of the world, he took the foolish things of the world, of this world. For after that, God made the foolish things of this world. He showed the people how foolish they were. So because of the wisdom of God, they never knew God because they never tried to please God. They tried to please themselves. He said, you know, they always wanted a sign. So they weren't operating unless they had a sign. And they missed the fact that Jesus Christ had been crucified. What most songs you want? But that had become a stumbling block for the people. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. After Paul showed them and introduced himself, then he began to, well, for a better way of saying it, straighten out a few things. He started with the division in the church, the disorder that was in the church. He pretty much laid out a blueprint of what was going on. But if you just look at this songs, by the time you get to some other stuff was going on, you'll miss it. Because when he talks about the marriage, a Christian marriage, he talks about the introduction of a Christian freedom, the introduction of public worship. Man, I just love that. Chapter 3, he talks about how Christ is alive now. See, the resurrection have already taken place.
Hallelujah.
And people tell you to, wait on the Holy Ghost. Tarry for the Holy Ghost. Well, what? The Holy Ghost is already here.
Amen.
So Paul had to address a lot of these issues that was going on. Worship must be carried out properly and in an orderly manner. And everywhere we do, the worship of God should be done decent and in order. It didn't matter where you were geographically, but it was more or less how you did it. Because, see, that was a Jews was known for wanting to show out. I'm just not trying to go there. But they carry their rugs because they want to spread that out. And they at 12 o'clock, they want you to see that they were praying. They was on their knees. Whatever you had to do, it could wait. Well, nothing more important to a Jew than to lay his mat down there high noon and start praying. See? So, our worship, yes, that was important. Who you worship to was important. So Paul addressed all the problems that the church was having, brothers and sisters. He highlighted them. The meaning of the cross, he highlighted it. When you got to the story in 1 Corinthians 11, the story of the Lord's Supper, he highlighted it. He wanted people to see. And then finally, he gets to the point that, you know what, let me just put a pen in everything and teach them about love. And I think when you think about 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, one of the greatest love story that ever been told is right here. What love really means. One of the most important fundamental of Christianity is right there. Because you can have all that stuff and not have love. You become like sounding brass and a tingle cymbal. It doesn't mean anything. It's pointless. I heard you say today, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's best sometimes just leave stuff. Walk away. Go boogity, boogity, boogity. It ain't that important. How important is your salvation? What is it worth to you? Because you know you're going to leave here. So whatever you're trying to hold here, you ain't going to keep. So how important is your salvation? Don't sell out. You know, don't be that cheap. Your salvation is far more than that. The devil don't see no importance in it. He can't because he's not saved. He don't have the love of God in his heart. So he'll never see the importance of why you're trying to hold on to your salvation. Because remember, he come but to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. That's what he want to do. He want to steal your salvation. He don't want you going to heaven. He don't want you going there without him. He can't go there. It's off limit for him. He can't go there. So if he can keep you from going there, which is part of his job, believe me, part of his job is to try to keep you from going there. So I want everybody to understand this. That's Satan's job, to keep you from going there. And if he can, he'll do it. But you have so many, many choices, and you have so many, many escapes.
Amen.
I got a thought. Boy, it started raining, and the man said, "Oh, I don't have an umbrella." So the lady said, "Cover your head up with your hat, with your coat." I mean, it's mm-hmm. so many, many things. He said, "I mean, just but if you don't look for other alternatives, if you don't look, you get caught up in the devil's trap." People, you want to look for other alternatives. You really do.
Amen.
There's other alternatives in this life. You don't have to accept what Satan's throwing your way.
Amen.
Yeah, that part. Hallelujah.
So, when you cover that, and that goes back to what we was talking about, you cover the best gift your way. When you in 1 Corinthians, it was like Paul was just, and then he come to find out, you know what? Some of these people still hadn't got it. He told him, he said, this is the Lord's body, and it was for us. He said, and Jesus said, now as often if you do this, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. He took the cup mm-hmm. and he showed them that that cup represented the new covenant. Some of those people are still trying to live in the old covenant. And God showed me something. And let me share this. I know it's simple, and I know it probably y'all go like, duh. But you know what God spoke to me real loud this morning and said, you got the old covenant, and you got the new covenant. And I said, okay, Lord, I know that. He said, no, you don't. He said, because the old covenant means it's old stuff.
All right.
Heard that yet? It's old. It's old, Pastor.
Yeah.
Not trying to do the old stuff. Mm-hmm. You got a new covenant. So when we're taking and we're drinking of the cup, we represent, we're part of that new covenant. That new
Hallelujah.
Creation.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're part of the new creation. Stop trying to practice the old stuff. So no, we don't need your animal's blood. It won't work because we're in the new covenant. We're doing the new thing.
Yeah.
And now the new thing don't mean a wild thing. Let me be clear.
Hallelujah.
Let me be clear.
Say that. Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing, and that new thing is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Paul had to do a corrective action plan.
Amen.
Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. He had to do a correction action plan. So he explained in 2 Corinthians, he began to respond to the attack on his character. Isn't that something, evangelist sharing? How you done said something, and then the enemy come and try to attack your character. And your authority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
If you don't believe, you can go read this. I'm just telling you something. You go read it. It's because it's in 2 Corinthians 1. Probably, let's see, about 1 through at least the second chapter. Yeah, they attacked his character, man. So he had to explain that the nature of Christian ministry, and as an example he made himself, that he began to share the word of God with these people. He began to talk about the importance of the letter and who he wished to be involved in and the kind of ministry, Christian ministry, that they should be operating in. Paul had to go back and straighten this stuff up, and he had to let them know God be fearful, people. That's as important. Paul expressed suffering, his trials. trials, his tribulation. He's like, hey, I don't have to go through all of this. I'm struggling down here. But he gave a reason. When I become weak, I'm strong. He talked about how the bones that was flesh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, affirm God's faithfulness. I just think it's awesome, brothers and sisters. And the only reason I'm saying that because we talked a little bit about 2 Corinthians and the purpose in it. And so I wanted to just share that. Get your focus on who you are in Christ. And sometimes you have to focus on what's going on at the moment. Deal with the questions of marriage. Deal with the questions of spiritual gifts. Deal with these other issues that they have. And I'm going to tell you, your character will be attacked.
Amen. Amen.
Keep on preaching that word, Evangelist Sharon. You ain't going to get away. They're going to hit you, beneath the, what they call that, under the belt, beneath the belt. They're going to throw some illegal jabs on you. I'm telling you. Why? And you'd be surprised how it may come. It may come through physical. It may come through mental. It may come from a loved one, a close one, a friend, somebody familiar with. You'd be surprised how these attacks will come. And they'll say, you know, you can't be saved when you act like this. So they'll, you know, they want to be the expert in who gets saved and who don't and who's can be saving and how they are. They want to be the expert on this, and they forget that we're one unit in the body of Christ. They don't even love the Lord.
Because
even read his word.
Mercy.
They don't even love the Lord because they wouldn't pick up the Bible unless it's to the bait. They'll go in there and find that one scripture. But anyway, that's some of what I had for the review. But Paul did have to explain his action. And when I started reading 2 Corinthians like that, because when you read 2 Corinthians, it's to go over and straighten out some things that he said in the 1 Corinthians that they took out of context. Let me ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody ever said anything and somebody took it out of context? Anybody ever did that? You don't have to raise your hand.
Praise God.
And when
Amen.
They do, they attack your character because they said something that they didn't understood or understand that you said, and so they took it for a whole different. But anyway, that's what I have for the group today. And except for giving this number out again, make sure Pastor give that number out. We're going to start tomorrow with the new number. Want everybody to get a pencil and piece of paper before it's over with so our pastor can give that number out again. But right now, anyone have anything they like to share about anything on anything that's taking place? Tomorrow we're going to try to start with this new number, 216. But anybody have anything they want to say? Anything? I want Pastor to touch and agree with me that Evangelist Sharon voice right now in the name of Jesus be healed.
Yes.
Yes. Get her voice back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
A couple of times I lost my voice. God said, I want you to listen to me. I want you to shut up and listen to me. And I'm not saying this for her. I'm just saying for me. And I thank God for that because it reminds me sometimes I need to listen to God. And this is the time right now I need to listen to him. So I thank God for Evangelist Sharon and what she's going through. Not that I wish anything bad on her, but it helped me to remember that, hey, I need to start listening to God. I'm at a point right now I just really need to listen to him. Also, I'm not leaving, but Pastor Bill, was going to start tomorrow, be in charge of the services. I'll be in and out of the services, so I ain't going nowhere. But I just want you all to know she's going to get us started, and I'll be dipping in and out. And y'all be praying for me because next week, this time, I'll be headed toward Dubai. So thank God for that. That would be an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep me living that as well. Okay, it's in Pastor's hand.
Praise God, praise God. The number for starting next week is 216-799-0090. That's 216-799-0090. Access code, 680-1309. Amen. And the way I try to keep the numbers together, I save the 216 number in my phone. Then all I have to do is memorize or make sure I have the access code written down. So the access code again is 680-1309.
Amen.
Amen.
They will ask you for the access code.
Yeah.
Prompt you. So remember 216-799-0090, and I call it the PM. It's the access code 6801309. And we thank you all so much. Pastor, Evangelist Sharon, Sister Renee, Evangelist Renee, Brother Johnson, Brother Robertson, anybody have anything to say? Please write
Amen.
The number down.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And we talked a little bit about spiritual growth also, Pastor, on Mark 4:14-29. And said the spiritual growth is by the word of God. And also, I'm sorry, that's Mark 4:14-29, Mark 4:26-32. This is the kingdom of God, spiritual planting of seed for his spiritual kingdom. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor, that was Mark 4.
Yes, Mark 4:14-29.
Okay. And the King James reads as follows: the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have not no root in themselves, and so endure but for the time after, when affliction or persecution arises, and the word's sake, immediately they are offered. Hey, y'all, get out. That's rude. Excuse me. A computer. And have no root in themselves, and so endure. But for the time.
Praise God. I'll pick it up in the Message Bible.
Okay.
When Jesus got the news, he slipped away. Oh, let me make sure I'm in the right. Okay. When Jesus got the news, he slipped away by boat to an out-of-the-way place by himself. But unsuccessfully, someone saw him, and the word got around. Soon, a lot of people from the nearby villages walked around the lake to where he was. When he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and healed their sick. Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. I am in the wrong chapter. I'm like, where is my feed at? Okay. Here we are. Forgive me. Mark 14. Excuse me. Mark 4:14. And it reads as follows here. I'm sorry, the Message Bible does run the verses together, so just be patient here. I thought I had it highlighted. Okay, the farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When the first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm, but there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulties arise, there is nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weed represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worry about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Jesus went on, does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it on a table or a mantle? We're not keeping secrets, we're telling them. We're not hiding things, we're bringing things, we're bringing them out into the open. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Listen carefully to what I'm saying and be weary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forget about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First, a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. Amen. So I like that because it was talking about God's kingdom. Once we plant that seed.
I think we might have lost Evangelist Sharon. But anyway, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful passage of scripture. That's sort of picking up where we left off at before we got into talking about the tongues and so forth. It's about and it's about planting seeds spiritually. So I just want to remind everybody once more again, tomorrow we will be opening up on the phone number as follows: 216-799-0090. The PIN or access is 6801-309. 6801-309. If nothing else, Pastor and all, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon.